It's time for Voices from the Garden, a series that celebrates and explores an intrinsic mix of life lessons, faith stories, and glorious gardening adventures, told by those who experience them in their own words, exclusively on the Rose Chat podcast.
For more than 35 years, Ryan Tilley has been growing roses in his garden and in the gardens of more than 100 clients through his business, Rose Gardens by Ryan. This master rosarian and his wife, Wendy, who many of you might know from therosegardener.com, recently relocated to Vancouver, Washington, near Portland, very different from Atlanta, where they will have the fun and the challenge of learning to grow roses in their new home. Listen in as Ryan, dubbed the Rose Man of Atlanta, shares the wit and wisdom of one who has grown over 20,000 roses in his career. He also tells us about one of his latest projects, renovating the Jimmy Carter Presidential Library Rose Garden. Oh, there's a lot of rose love and growing tips and tricks in this episode of Rose Chat. Hey, Ryan, welcome to Rose Chat.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you. Ryan, I have so many things I want to talk to you about. Now, you've been growing roses in the Atlanta area for about 30 years.
Yes.
But it wasn't roses that brought you to Atlanta. So what occupied your time before roses?
Well, my main passion since I was like 5 years old was to be a meteorologist. I kept records. I became an amateur meteorologist. Then I went to Penn State, took meteorology there. And then I worked at a whole bunch of kind of sweatshops before I finally landed at the Weather Channel. And they had 60 meteorologists from all parts of the country. And I thought that was the ideal place for me, even though I was going to be living in Georgia with really hot summers and really bad traffic. Also bad air, not a whole lot of water. I'm probably dissuading anybody from ever going to Georgia. But that's how I really ended up here. I was counting the days until I could come out to the West Coast with a much better climate for growing roses. Summer's not as hot. Did you know they have a rainforest in the state of Washington?
No, I did not know that.
Well, they do. On the north coast of Washington, when I was out there about 30 years ago, within 2 miles of the shore, the desert is along the coast of northern Washington, and about 2 miles inland, you climb up some mountains, and they get 400 inches of rain a year.
Not like Atlanta.
Oh, my goodness, no. But I love it here in the Pacific Northwest. That trip I made out here 30 years ago made it clear this is where I wanted to retire to.
Well, your dream has come true. It only took 30 years. Now, those 30 years, you were very busy with roses. So
yeah,
roses
I was actually in Georgia for about 36 years. I didn't start growing roses until about 6-7 years when I was there. And it's kind of a funny story. We had a neighbor who was renting out his house. And some of the people he would rent to didn't keep up the property at all. I had 6-foot weeds next to my vegetable garden, which was not a good thing. So I had always kind of wanted to grow roses. So I called the guy and I said, if you just pay for the materials, I'll put in a rose garden for you. And so it'll be much, much nicer for your property, for any future rentals. He agreed. I planted 6 roses. And I grew them so well, I grew more and more and more of them until I got to 330 roses on a third of an acre. And
so
that third of an acre also had fruit trees, huge vegetable garden, arbors. I had 4 types of grass because at the places that I would go around to, if there was extra sod, I would just grab it and throw it down. And it was the best grass wins between centipede, Bermuda, zoysia, and fescue.
So how many roses do you think over the years you've planted?
Oh, my Lord. I think I've been asked that once before. And if I had to make a guess, a magazine asked me that. I've got to say at least 20,000 roses over the course of 30 years, because I've had 100 clients. And of course, you lose a few clients, you gain a few clients. Recently, I've had many of them pass away, which was very unfortunate. It pushed me to retirement even more, because everybody who apparently were my long-term clients were slowly dying off. My first client was 98 years old when he passed away about a year and a half ago. And I had him for 25 years. And he was such a nice man. I really almost lost money going all the way across town to take care of his garden. But it was just a labor of love.
Yes, I'm sure. Now, with all those roses that you've grown, what are your favorites?
My favorites are what are called hybrid teas. And a hybrid tea is the type that you would send your sweetie on Valentine's Day. It's the kind that has the long stems and the beautiful regal rose that's on top of it. So I like big flowers. So the hybrid teas pretty much are the biggest roses you can grow. But there's many, many other types of roses. There's what are called the David Austin English roses, which are a cross between a modern rose and an old-fashioned rose. There's about 150 of those. About 60 or 70 of them are really nice roses. There's Floribundas. They're shorter than hybrid teas, kind of look a bit like a hybrid tea flower, but they come in clusters. Then you have climbing roses, miniature roses, mini floras, and then finally you have your old garden roses, which were the ones growing back in the 1800s and 1900s.
So you've grown a little bit of everything. So when you get down to the hybrid teas, what are your favorites?
Well, it changes every year because, especially in Georgia, no year is the same. Some years you have 8 months of summer. Some years you have a drought. Some years you get 26 inches in September. Every year my favorites changed based on how they were doing that year. There were 3 years ago, there was a rose called Mr. Caleb. It was beautiful red rose. Kind of pokey, getting established, but one day, the end of April, there were 100 unbelievable red blooms on that. It instantly became my favorite red rose. The next 2 years were not the same weather-wise, and they looked nothing like the beautiful roses I had had a year or two before. But in my newsletter, I have listed about 120 roses, and I've rated them, and I've given comments. So I'll give you a few that are typically very, very good. Everybody knows Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Lincoln is not my favorite red rose. The best one is Veterans Honor. It is a tremendous blooming rose. It grows a big bush, 50, 60, 80 long stem blooms at a time. The only downside to it is there's no fragrance. So if I want to put a red fragrant rose in my clients' gardens, I'll put a rose called Alex Red. You cannot find that anywhere.
No, I've never heard of Alex Red.
It was a very good rose back in around 1977. The blooms were plump and they had kind of a cherry red with a slightly darker red on the inside of the petals and a slightly lighter red on the outside. The fragrance is absolutely outstanding on that rose. But I keep it alive by taking budwood, a little piece of a rose, and I send it off to two specialty growers. One is in a little town called Buckatuna, Mississippi. The other is in a slightly bigger town. It's in Savannah, Georgia. And they then graft the rows that I send them. I send 20 or 30 little pieces, and then I will have the roses available that I want to put into people's gardens. Along with the place in Bucatuna, Mississippi, and Savannah, there's a very good place in South Carolina called Roses Unlimited. Now, those don't get grafted. Those, you simply take the cutting and you stick it in the ground. The reason for grafting, though, is to get them bigger faster. The rootstock in the southeast is called Fortuniana. Some people who grow roses may know a few of the other ones. Jackson and Perkins uses Dr. Yui. Weeks Roses and others use a rootstock called Multiflora. But Fortuniana comes from Florida, and it thrives in sandy soils. And Florida soils have what are called nematodes in the soil, little critters that pretty much, you know, screw up your rows so they won't grow well. But that rootstock is unbelievably vigorous. It'll go 20 feet from the plant. So with just a little bit of special soil preparation, I can get roses that you've never heard of before. Roses that the exhibitors use, and they win rose shows. You might go to a rose show in anywhere in the country, and you might see a rose that wins, and it's fabulous. Let's just say it's a rose that's called Louise Estes, which is a very good show rose. You are not going to find it anywhere but the Fortuniana growers or those who are doing roses on their own roots. Okay, there are thousands of varieties of roses. So you might go home and say to yourself, where can I buy Louise Estes? You won't find it in a local nursery. You won't find it online unless you stumble across one or two of the growers that use Fortuniana rootstock. The top 10 roses that I grow are mostly on the Fortuniana rootstock. So if I could, tax my memory, Veterans Honor would be number one. Paul Ricard is number two, and I guarantee you nobody's heard of that rose. It's a beautiful pale vanilla apricot with a licorice fragrance, and I'm not kidding when I say there can be 200 or 300 cuttable roses on the bush at a time. It is a spectacular rose. Then you have a rose that would be called Louise Estes. It's an extremely good show rose. Soft Whisper, which it is fantastic. It's cream colored, a bit of pink on the edge. It's got an interesting way that the petals are. They're kind of pointed. It's fragrant, and you get tons and tons of them. So those are the top four, and I think I've boxed myself into a corner here trying to, from memory, do 5 through 10. But my wife has a website called The Rose Gardener. I have a rose site too, but my newsletter is on her website. And so you go on her website and then you can read not only my current issues, but you can read some of my back issues. So about 3 issues ago, I had my rose ratings from top to bottom. Not a complete list because there have been 60, 70 roses over the years. Maybe it's 90 or 100 over the years that I've grown. I've liked them, but for one reason or another, I discarded them in favor of some newer roses or to put some one of my favorites in. And that's going to be a challenge for me out here in Vancouver, Washington. The climate is nothing like the Southeast. Couldn't be farther from it. The soil was better, although it's still heavy. You have a climate like England in the winter, and sort of like England in the summer as well. So some of the roses that I used to grow may grow really well out here. Some of my favorites in the Southeast, maybe they won't grow so well out here. So it's going to be a learning process for me for the next 2, 3, 4 years. But the nice thing about my newsletter is I kind of tell people exactly what's going on in my garden. And I'm going to have lots of articles on the difference between out here and also the Southeast. Although basic rose care is kind of the same. You figure out what diseases you get. You spray them so you don't get disease. You water them when it's hot and dry. And you put mulch over them in the winter to protect the bottom of the rows, which I have found out people out here don't do that. So that's a little bit of rose knowledge that I'm bringing out to the Pacific Northwest. And I'll learn from Rosarians here, and they will learn from me as well.
Well, Ryan, I have to say I'm a big fan of your newsletter. And you're right, even though it's called the Georgia Rose, there's just so much general knowledge to learn.
My current issue is 52 pages long, is because, oh my goodness. And the reason is I felt guilty, because I put it out about three times a year, and it's about 20 pages, sometimes a little bit more. But there was so much going on with selling my business and then not selling it and then selling it again, to my wife not being there for a whole year, running my business and then training the guy who was going to take over my business. I had no time for my newsletter, and it got to be a year, no newsletter. And I'm so thankful people didn't start to complain, but I decided to make a super colossal sized issue back in August and September. That's my current issue 83, and it has a lot of good stuff, including the renovation of the Jimmy Carter Presidential Library Rose Garden. And I'm told I have to say it that way. I can't just say the Carter Center. So they called me in about 14 months ago. There's a virus that many rose growers know and are afraid of. It's called rose rosette virus. And once your rose gets it, in very rare cases, it may survive, but you usually have to end up taking out the whole rose, because it's very, very contagious to other roses. And it's becoming more and more of a problem. And in the Carter Center, there were about 110 roses that had this rose rosette. And I can't really describe what it is over the phone accurately, because it's very easy to confuse it with some other things that might be going on. My issue 83 has an article that has everything you need to know about rose rosette. But for the Carter Center, I had to take out all the roses because I couldn't risk having ones being infected but not looking like it yet. And Mrs. Carter loved knockouts. And there were some huge 7-foot knockouts. And I was praying to God that it didn't get the rose rosette, because it would have broken her heart to have taken some of those gorgeous big knockouts out, but she loved them. So as I was renovating it, and the whole story of the renovation is in my newsletter, but one of the knockouts, the big one, had rose rosette. So I said I wasn't going to dig it up. I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that this is one of the lucky ones. So I cut below it. I saw rose rosette again. So I cut below it. And as of the time I left Georgia, it had not come back. So I'm very, very hopeful that maybe I've completely gotten rid of it out of the garden. But the funny thing is, they gave me a rose they wanted, Jocelyn Carter, an orange rose from back in the 70s that nobody carries. Absolutely nobody carries. And they even named it something different over in England. So I looked and I looked, and I finally found a pathetic little rose of Jocelyn. Oh, the car is going to hate me for this. Jocelyn? Okay. All righty. But there was enough there that I could send it down to my Fortuniana person. And I was hoping to get 17, because they had a big oval, and I wanted that to be the front border. And then behind it, a great floribunda called Coco Loco, which has chocolate buds, opens up to a latte colored bloom with a bit of lavender on the edges, then turns more lavender as it ages. And I had visions of spectacular picture worthy parts of the garden. And I did take lots of pictures, but it was a first year garden. So as the years go on, hopefully the garden will get better and better. However, I will not be flying back to take care of it. So they know what to do there. But so I ask all my readers and all my clients, sometime next year, go to the Rose Garden and tell me how it looks. I left Georgia early October. So it was looking pretty good early October. It had actually filled it out, and I had a color scheme for it and all different assortment of roses. It is, I think, the best rose garden I've ever put in. And I'm a master rosarian. I used to be a consulting rosarian, and now I'm a master rosarian. But what a master rosarian is supposed to do is spread the love of roses. So those who are scared to grow roses, my newsletter will hopefully encourage them to at least try a few, because I try to make it as easy as possible for people. Because in the past, people are scared to death to grow roses because they think that they'll do something wrong, or they think roses don't do well, et cetera, et cetera. So when you take a lot of the extra stuff out, for instance, rosarians have said for years and years and years, when you make a cut, put a dab of Elmer's glue on the end of the cut to prevent cane borers from getting into the rose. Now, of course, when I started growing roses, I followed all of the conventional wisdom. After about 8 years, I threw almost all of the conventional wisdom out. But back to the cane borer. What rosarians were afraid of is when it bores down in the cane, then the cane will die. And old-time rosarians would cut their roses back to about 8 inches. So a borer might be able to get far enough down to the bud union. But I preach to keep good canes 3, 4, and 5 feet tall. Since you spend a whole year growing those canes, why would you cut them down? And so if a cane borer gets on those taller canes, okay, fine. There's the cane borer. Look at him go. But he only goes about 3-4 inches. So what I do over the next winter or in the same year, if I'm going to make a cut anyway, I just cut below the borer and say goodbye, borer. And I still have nice, tall canes. And I preach to people, grow as many canes as possible and grow them as high as possible. Again, an old-time conventional wisdom was cut them to the 3 or 4 best canes. And if someone wants to do that and they're happy with their roses, I say go to it. But for those who are new to rose growing, I would rather see a nice big bush with lots and lots of leaves, because those leaves make food. The food helps the roots grow. The roots help the canes grow. Good, healthy canes give you really nice blooms. So I'll leave 10 or 12 big canes on if there's no damage, if there's nothing wrong with them, and if I think they're going to give me good roses, there is no reason to cut them. And I'm actually very proud to say quite a few of rosarians now are using my method as the conventional wisdom for roses, because those old-time rosarians, they felt that by restricting the canes and by cutting them down that far, all the energy will go into one big, beautiful cane that they can cut and enter in a rose show and win. And they may very well be able to do that. But I'd like my chances a bit better if I had 30 or 40 really nice roses. And again, the best stems are on the Fritunianae rootstock roses. And my one source in Mississippi, I said, well, I'm going to revolutionize the rose growing out here. I'm going to bring Fortuniana to the Pacific Northwest. And he said, Jim Mills, he's 77 years old. He'll be retiring pretty soon like me. And he told me, Ryan, you want to hear a little dirty secret? Exhibitors up in the Pacific Northwest also use roses on Fortuniana rootstock. So my task will be not to teach the exhibitors, but to maybe help the homeowners, because if you get a really good rose that first year, you are more than likely going to be bit by the rose bug. And you might not end up with 330 like me, but you might end up with a good, healthy 20 or 30 roses. And I do caution people, roses in the Southeast bloom about six times. Out here, it'll be about three, maybe four if I'm really lucky. But every bloom cycle will not be perfect. Mother Nature does not allow for perfection. You do the best you can, but sometimes you get a bloom cycle, and God, they're awful. One year in October, there was the remnants of a hurricane that came up. And on my 330 roses, there must have been 10,000 blooms. I came back and they were all rotting at the top of the canes. We had gotten 4 inches of rain. It had gotten chilly at night. That water sat inside the blooms. And it's a disease called botrytis. And unlike black spot, powdery mildew, rust, downy mildew, and others, there is nothing you can spray that will absolutely prevent it. If Mother Nature gives you the perfect conditions for botrytis, you're going to have botrytis. And literally that whole bloom cycle, I just clipped them off and then hoped for better roses the next bloom cycle. And the next bloom cycle was in early November, and magnificent. It almost made having terrible roses in October appreciate the great blooms that I got in November. So you will never have picture perfect roses every single time. But man, a couple times a year, you're going to have some perfection in your garden, and it is awe-inspiring.
Well, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Now, to learn more about Ryan and his newsletter, visit their website, therosegardener.com. Well, friends, that's all the time we have for this edition of the Rose Chat podcast, and we thank you for listening today. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of Voices from the Garden, an exclusive story series celebrating the human experience in the garden exclusively on the Rose Chat podcast. If you have a story to tell, email us at grow@rosechat.info. Voices from the Garden is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.